A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 122. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Invasion Earth. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
When an Air Force jet intercepts a UFO, an alien craft, the Earth gets caught up in a war between two different alien factions. This was a miniseries from 1998. It ran for 6 50-minute episodes.
And it was a co-production between the BBC and the Sci-Fi Channel. And as you say, 1998, quite an impressive special effects show, an interesting cast list, and also, I think, well-remembered for being quite a dark show, with certainly some quite difficult and unpleasant themes compared to some of the lighter stuff we've been talking about recently, Brian.
Yes, and certainly it was a darker take on the alien invasion idea. So the setup actually begins in 1944 with the Blitz in World War II and a strange unidentified flying vehicle crashes. And the British Army bomb disposal team is there to recover these two bodies and this strange craft.
Yes, so that's the setup or the first sequence, which I believe is shown in black and white.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And then we switch to colour and to 1998, and an RAF jet attached to NATO has been scrambled to intercept a strange flying vehicle over the North Sea. And believing that they are under attack, the pilot of this jet manages to shoot down this strange craft they're pursuing. But in doing so, their own jet is damaged, and both the pilot and navigator have to eject. But sadly, only the pilot survives. The navigator dies in the ejection, I believe. And that's sort of like we're off and running with this, Brian.
Yes, it was sort of an intense way to start it, with this pilot sort of going out on his own in the heat of the moment and shooting down this craft when he was not specifically authorized to do so. And meanwhile, there is a team of scientists picking up this strange transmission, which seems to confirm that this mysterious craft was in fact of alien origin. It is making communications and sending messages which seem to indicate that it is talking to things that are not on the planet and that it is not terrestrial in its origin and where it was launched from.
Yep, and as you say, we've got these three sort of rapid sequences. We've got the Blitz thing from World War II. We've got this very dramatic air sequence of something being shot down and a pilot and navigator having to eject from their craft in the process. And then, as you say, we've got scientists picking up what seems to be evidence of extraterrestrials. So we'll turn to our characters and run through the main ones as we always like to do. We've got the pilot of the RAF jet, Flight Lieutenant Drake, played by Vincent Reagan, an actor who I think this was one of his first roles, but he's since gone on to be a very familiar face on British television. After the sort of dramatic sequence that we've talked about, he is suspended from duty pending an investigation because, as you say, Brian, he didn't have clear authorization to engage this strange craft, and he sort of acted on his own. But even while suspended from duty, he can't leave it alone, and he has to get involved in the investigation of what's going on. And I guess that's because he has this terrible sense of guilt because he lost his navigator in the process. His navigator died. And that sort of drives Flight Lieutenant Drake on, I think, Brian.
Yes, and he is one character who really wants to get to the bottom of this and learn what is going on. Similarly, Dr. Amanda Tucker, played by Maggie O'Neill, also wants to learn exactly what is going on here. And she is a government-sponsored scientist leading the SETI project in the UK. So she is trying to learn what the original transmission was, what all of these different transmissions are, and all of the different phenomena and things that they see that appear to be not from Earth. She is always right there trying to figure out exactly what the story is. And she teams up with Drake, of course.
Yes, as you say, they sort of meet up almost by chance, but then they sort of share their desire to investigate what's going on.
Major General Reese is, for most of the story, the man in charge, played by Fred Ward from Tremors. He is an American soldier. He is the commander of the NATO unit. So you basically have an American in command of a British unit for most of this story. And there is a little bit of tension based on that, of course, but he is sort of an interesting character and one of the central ones to this story.
And then we've got a few other characters. I mean, there's quite a number of characters in this show, but we'll mention Squadron Leader Helen Knox, played by Phyllis Logan, perhaps best known now for appearing on television in Downton Abbey. And she plays the liaison officer between the RAF and NATO. So she's an RAF pilot herself, and she's trying to sort of smooth out the bumps between the RAF and Major General Reese and his NATO unit. And then we've got one of the SETI team, a student researcher called Nick Shea, played by Paul Medford. And it's this character who first spots the transmission and starts to analyze it and realize what's going on. And as the plot of this show develops and computers and transmissions and data become much more important, he is sort of co-opted by the NATO unit as their sort of science whiz kid, their sort of general, I suppose he's their IT guy in a way. They have various things that he has to do later on as the show progresses, a lot to do with analyzing transmissions.
Yeah, and he's the one who ends up doing some of the reverse engineering and figuring out what some of the alien technology they come across, you know, what it actually does.
Yes, that's right. As ever, he's the sort of like the go-to guy for IT who can fix anything. Almost, I guess, like the Jeff Goldblum character in Independence Day.
Yeah, that's not a bad parallel. So as the plot develops, the pilot of the alien craft is on the run from NATO forces. He has managed to eject and land, although he doesn't have his ship anymore. And he has like a personal invisibility cloak sort of device that he can use to almost completely hide and completely make himself invisible. So he is, you know, working to run away. But of course, the NATO forces do find him because he's not completely invisible and he's right in the area where they see the crash has happened.
And he was also injured, I think, in the crash, and he's injured in the chase. And he eventually ends up in, as you said, in a NATO hospital. And rather interestingly, when his spacesuit is removed, he turns out to be a character we saw right in the opening framing sequence in World War II. He appears to be the bomb disposal officer that we saw in 1944, but he is no older. He appears to be the exact same character. And we learn that he is Lieutenant Charles Tyrell, played by the actor Anton Lesser, who had an interest in anthropology and languages and had originally tried to interpret what the alien creature or the alien the sort of member of an alien race that they captured in 1944. They tried to interpret for the British Army and then offered to return with the alien pilot as a sort of ambassador from Earth. And somehow or other, he's back and he hasn't aged at all.
That's right. So we have this character, Terrell, who is like a go-between between the humans and this alien race we discover is known as the Echoes. However, we also discover that there is a second alien race involved that has a conflict with the Echoes, and we are in fact getting pinched in the middle and perhaps getting into the crossfire of this alien conflict.
Yes, and that, as you say, that seems to have set us off, really, doesn't it? We've got these two alien races, we've got some form of conflict, we've got this NATO unit and the RAF pilot sort of blundering into the middle of it almost, and from then on we're very much involved, we're part of it, and the NATO unit will have to take action, some of which will be quite unpleasant.
Yes, absolutely.
Begging the General's pardon, but what exactly has this got to do with you, sir?
Flight Lieutenant Drake.
Sergei Naus. I'm the commander assigned by NATO to respond to any breach of European airspace by non-NATO aircraft. I work in concert with the military of the country or countries involved, in this case, the Royal Air Force. Now describe the aircraft, Flight Lieutenant Drake.
Sir, I did not recognize the aircraft as being any known type. I saw a luminous object, approximately twice our size, roughly spherical, with no aerofoil surfaces.
Any markings on it? What country?
You heard what I said, ma'am. Don't you get it?
Why'd you engage it?
I thought it had attacked us. I couldn't let it get away. We were alone up there. It's easy for people who weren't.
So, we'll talk about our production notes for this show, and we are talking about a British television writer called Jed Mercurio. Interestingly, he trained as a doctor, and he's perhaps best known for his medical dramas on television, and in particular for Cardiac Arrest, and for a show that came out later after Invasion Earth called Bodies. And he wrote this particular series we're talking about, Invasion Earth.
Yes, and this was a co-production between BBC Scotland and the Sci-Fi Channel, the American cable TV channel. In fact, it was the biggest science fiction production that the BBC had done since The Tripods in 1984 and 1985. So it was certainly a big endeavor with the BBC getting back into science fiction in a way that they really hadn't for a number of years.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big show for the BBC, quite a big production, and known for its production costs. And the figure that we've seen quoted was about $1.3 million. It's quoted in dollars, $1.3 million per episode. So sort of clearly the most expensive thing the BBC had done at that time. They were sort of throwing themselves back into science fiction, or finding their way back into science fiction, Brian?
I think maybe there were. There had been some science fiction on the BBC during the 90s and the late 80s, but there was not a great deal of it. And most of it was sort of siloed either into the comedy area like Red Dwarf, or the children's area like Dark Season and Century Falls. But there was really not a great deal of science fiction drama being done for quite some time. So I think in some way this was sort of them stepping back into things, and the Sci-Fi Network brought some extra money to it for production. And I think because it was that American production, that was the reason for having an American actor in a major role as the general.
Right. Okay. As often happens with these six-part shows on the BBC, we've got two different directors taking three episodes each. So we have Patrick Lau, who is perhaps best known for directing some of the episodes of the new Robin Hood on the BBC. And then Richard Laxton, who would go on after this show to work with Jed Mercurio again on that medical show Bodies that I mentioned. So those are our two directors.
And it was filmed on location in Scotland with the cooperation of the RAF. So there were lots of planes and bases and soldiers on display, which helped add some realism to it. And certainly the RAF brought a lot to this. The special effects were designed by Dennis Lowe, who had worked on Alien and The Empire Strikes Back and even Labyrinth. So that helped bring something to it as well.
And then we've got CGI as well, and the CGI done by the Moving Pictures Company, and their perhaps most famous credit is the Batman Begins reboot movie. So, you know, some big names involved in both the special effects and the CGI. And then we've got this show broadcast on the BBC May of 1998, which we believe was after The Watershed, so because it's quite a dark show with unpleasantness, so this would have been after 9 p.m. in the evening.
Yes, it was getting something like 5 to 7 million viewers at the time, which was not bad.
No, it isn't bad at all. I mean, by comparison, I was looking at viewing figures, and the most recent Doctor Who Christmas special that's just been on got 8.9 million viewers. So between 5 and 7 million an episode is not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Possibly not enough to justify continuing the series, or certainly for something as budget-intensive as this. But, of course, the U.S. Ratings would figure in on that. I don't have the American viewing figures, but the Sci-Fi Channel did broadcast it in the U.S. in December of 1998, so a few months later.
Okay.
Now, we don't know for sure if there were plans to do a second season or not. I think the opening was there story-wise, but they did not continue it. They just did the original six-episode miniseries.
Yes, you sort of feel that there must have been an idea about a second series, and as you say, without giving it away, there is the opening at the end of this six episodes for the story to continue. But perhaps, as we said, the ratings didn't quite meet up to the $1.3 million episode budget. So it never really got off the ground for any sort of plans for further episodes.
That's right. So I think that just about wraps up the first half of our discussion about Invasion Earth. Next time, we will look at the two alien races involved in a little bit more detail, and we will talk a little bit more about the story as it builds towards the invasion and, you know, some tough choices for humanity, some interesting things going on in there.
That's right. And, of course, we'll get to our reviews and recommendations and talk about the availability of this series. So lots of stuff to talk about when we come back.
Yes, absolutely. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.